Another reason why we're doing this unveiling. And today I'm unveiling a truth about modern Christianity for you. And I need you to repeat after me. Salvation is not the goal. Now say that whole sentence together. Some of you are like, come on now. Say it with me. Salvation is not the goal. Say it again. Salvation is not the goal. I need you to get that. I need you to get that. I did not say salvation was a bad thing. In fact, it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing, and it must happen, and I'm going to explain that. But I need you to understand a couple of things. First of all, I am not preaching at you or to you. I am a part of you, and I am learning with you. You understand that? I am not beyond you. I'm learning with you. My wife, Cy, Carolyn, Randy, the people who are with me every day, know, understand, and praise God, love me through my flaws. I will fail. I don't sing these songs on some pedestal, all right? I cannot. I've fallen from it more than once. It does not feel good, and it will not help us. I am doing this alongside you. You need to understand that first, all right? Second, we can make excuses about what I'm going to preach today. We can. We should not. We can make excuses. There are reasons why we've done what we've done, okay? But we should not allow them to be excuses. They should simply be facts. Let me give you a couple of them. Anybody order pizza? Raise your hand if you've ordered pizza. How long does it take to get somebody to have all of the toppings, all of the crust, all of the tomatoes, make the pizza, run it through the oven, drive the car to your house and drop it off? How long does it take? 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, yes. If you had to go and buy those things, cut the pepperoni, cut the mushrooms, all of that stuff, how long would it take? Who knows? Who knows? You can drive through and get anything you want. You can drive through and drop off your laundry, all right? We want things and we want them now. We want to see numerical gain now. We want to see growth now. And growth for the church over the last 30, 40, 50 years has always been in numbers. What happens when more people, name something that happens when more people sit in your sanctuary? You get bigger. And when you get bigger, something else that happens, church, audience participation, what else happens? Yeah, you get more money. What happens when you get more money? You can get bigger buildings. What happens when you get bigger buildings? You can seat more people. So what happens when you got seats for more people? What do you want to do? Bring in more people. And that is the goal of the church. That's what Jesus sent us to do. He said, go and make converts of all the nations, bringing them in to sit in your pews and fill your sanctuary so you can have more money and build bigger buildings. That's exactly what Christ commanded us to do. Correct? No. Then this morning we must decide forcefully and firmly, without shame, the difference between a convert and a disciple. Because Jesus did not ask us to make converts. He did not ask us to add numbers. He did not ask us simply to multiply. And I'm going to show you what I mean. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Hi. Hi. What is this? Yes. It's a beautiful baby. What are the great things about babies? Come on. What are some great things? They smell good. Yes, sometimes. What else? There's an innocence there. Isn't it great? What else? They're fun when they smile. They're fun when you come home to them and they laugh, or when Uncle Craig sees them when they come to church and they go, and they want to see him. Ain't that right? They're fun when you go out of the sanctuary and get to bring them in and dad gets to hold them, you know, during church. They're fun. Tell me some other things about babies, though. Everything is new to them. Yeah. They're okay with your singing. Yeah, absolutely. Now, what else comes with all of the wonderful things with babies? Responsibilities. Obligation. Do you have to sacrifice? Yeah. What are some things you sacrifice?
Sleep.
Sleep. Amen. What are some other things you sacrifice? Time. Your body. Can I get an amen from every woman? Yes. Yes. Your bank account drops, you know. Your booty drops, all right? Yeah. Yeah. What else comes with babies? Lots and lots of... I was thinking poop. Yeah, you got to change a lot of diapers. How about going out to eat? We went out to eat with Kenzie last night, and we love her, and we had a ball. But you know what she did through the whole thing? Fake cried. Every time she didn't get what she wanted, she fake cried. And then you have to stick something in her mouth or give her a bottle, and she spit it out and fake cry some more. And then she wanted to reach for me, so I had to hold her. And then when I held her, I couldn't eat, so I had to hand it to Mom. And when Mom held her, she couldn't eat, all right? Do we not love her? No, we love her. But guess what? You got to get up in the middle of the night and change a diaper. You got to get up in the middle of the night and feed a bottle. You got to get up in the morning and be there. You got to take them to restaurants, and it's not peaceful anymore, all right? You got to drop them off in the nursery and listen to them cry when you walk away. There's a lot of things that come with babies. What are you doing? All right, there's a ton of things that come with babies. Now, do we get to be our age if we're not a baby first? Huh? Do we get to be an adult without being a baby? No. Okay. But what if? What if, Tiffany, since you've dealt with a baby or two, what if Chris, oh, I know, I get you in a minute. What if Chris got up twice a night and needed you to feed him? And needed you to change his underpants? I'm just saying. And cried when he didn't get his way out loud. How would that be for you? Yeah, probably have to find another husband. All right. What if every time Caroline went to a restaurant and the server said they were out of something or didn't give her something, she screamed and cried and threw a giant tantrum. All right. What if every time Missy Roberts used the bathroom, she just did it wherever she felt like, all right? Anywhere she felt like, you know? What if Wesley drooled all over himself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and needed a passy? What if Damon took his bottle to work every day, and Kristen had to go and give him his bottle every 3 hours at work? How would that go for us? How would it go? Well, yeah, we would. Oh, this is going to be even better than I thought. Would you say that louder? No, this is going to go better for the sermon than I even expected. We would never do what?
We would never reproduce.
We would never reproduce. Church, can I tell you that that's exactly what we're doing? And it's the reason we don't reproduce like we want to. Because whether or not you want to hear it, most of the people in this room are not willing to do what it takes to be disciples because they're happy being converts. I'm saved. I go to church 1 hour a week. I've got my ticket to heaven, and I'm good. Let me tell you what that is. That's being a baby. And the Bible says as much. You are living your life as if Jesus said, I have come that you might have heaven and have it to the fullest. But that's not what he said. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. You act as if this thing was for a moment, that Jesus gave the Great Commission for everyone to be converted. And God doesn't need, listen to me, nor want permanent converts. Well, Craig, that's just not cool. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He absolutely said that. Save them from what? No life. And what most of us are doing are we're getting converted and we're still living no life. Here's my question. When you walk out into the streets, when you work your jobs, when you work in school, when you do everything that you do, this is a side conversation that I had. This is a conversation that a group of women who are praying had. Here's what they decided. They decided that if we were really doing what we ought to do, that people would actually be jealous of what we had. They would actually be jealous of what we had. Can I ask you a question? When you go through your day, your sisters, your brothers, your mothers, your fathers, the people who work with you, are they jealous of the faith that you have? Do they see your life, your hope, your joy, your peace, and do they want what you have? Then has anything changed in your life? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you got your ticket and you're the same as you were, has there been any transformation? Well, that's okay, Craig, because Jesus loves me and he's grace-filled and I'm going to get to go to heaven. I will not argue with that. The conundrum of knowing the scriptures. You're right. You probably will. But I want to read something extraordinarily scary to you. Scary to me. This is a list. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, the effeminate, homosexual offenders, thieves, those who are greedy, those who get drunk, those who slander, those who swindle. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. That's for the next few weeks. Does anybody know what this list has in common? I didn't read you the first phrase and the last phrase. I just read you the list in the middle. Do you want to know what it says right before that list and right after that list? These people will not enter the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Look at it. For the kingdom is not for, these will not enter the kingdom of God. We've already talked about idolatry, haven't we, church? That's when something else comes before, gets more time, gets more money, gets more of you than God does. Sexual offenders. Those who slander. You know what slander is, right? It's talking down to somebody, making somebody, yeah. Nobody in here does that, so we're all good, right? You want to hear something else scary? These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Let me say that line again. I wish you were either one or the other. Let me say it one more time just to be clear. I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, something you have created, something you have come up with, the excuses that you make for how you live your life, because you are lukewarm, not choosing me completely or not staying away from me at all, because you like to wear your t-shirt and show up in church and then treat people like you don't know Jesus at all, treat your finances like you don't know Jesus at all, treat your service like you don't know Jesus at all, because everything about your life and what you want and what you need is more important than what God wants and what God has out there for you, because you choose to be that way, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, and I do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Make all the excuses you want, says Jesus. I see you for who you are, and I'm calling you on it. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. It actually means that I do. And the reason that I'm calling you on it is because there are millions and millions of people out there. But let's just talk about Jessamine County. There are 40,000 people in our county, and it's growing massively. Do you have any idea what percentage of those people are in church and have a desire to be in church this morning? Less than 10%. Less than 10%. Less than 10%. 90% of the people in our community have no desire to be in church. Now, let me ask you a question. If people went out and lived their life like they had met the God of the universe, like they had been freed from their sin, like they had been freed from their shame, like they had hope in something, don't you think that some of those 90% of the people would want to know what we had and what we've got and how to get it? They're not coming because there's been some things wrong. They're not coming because you and I think we can fake our way through it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We think we can act like we want, buy what we want, spend what we want, marry who we want, sleep with who we want, have sex with who we want, talk about who we want, and God's going to forgive us so everything's okay. But the problem with that is you're letting Him love you and you don't love Him back. Why? Those who love me obey my commands. Kinsey will not be any kind of adult if she is not trained to be an adult. Someday, she's got to have the bottle taken from her, and she's going to get mad. Guess what? You guys act the same way when we start talking about giving money. What? Yeah. But it's mine. I want it. Can I ask you a question? When Brittany tries to take the bottle away from Kinsey, is she doing it because she hates her or because she loves her? Is she doing it because there's something better out there than a bottle and Kinsey just doesn't know it yet? Can I get this message across to you? That's exactly what God's doing for you. When He says, "Give me this," you don't see what He sees. He's going to offer you more. You don't have to drink formula forever. There's a steak waiting. There's a homemade Caesar salad waiting. There's a filet waiting. A perfectly cooked piece of asparagus waiting. There are things, lobster, there are things you've never fathomed, but we whine because we just want to take the bottle back because it's what we know. And we fight for what we know, don't we? Oh, we fight for our hymns. We fight for our screens. We fight for our buildings. We fight for going to this place or that place on a mission trip. We fight for people coming to my party or his party or her party or my mission or his mission or my ministry or his ministry. We fight for where we want to spend our money and where we want to go on vacation and where we want to do this and that and the other. And God's out there saying, "I lined it out for you. And I want to give you hope in a future. And I want to transform your life. Will you stop being a baby?" And I'm not using it figuratively. I'm using it literally. Will you stop being at the starting gate? And will you stop celebrating? Listen, this is what it's like. So we're at the Olympics. We're at the 100-yard dash, all right? Some of the fastest people in the world, all right? And you know what Usain Bolt is capable of, all right? So here's what he does. He takes off like nobody's business. And he takes 7 steps. He's 12 yards into the race. And he stops and looks, stops. The gun goes off. He takes off. He makes it the first 12 steps. He turns to the crowd and he goes, "Woo! Look how good I did, baby. I ran in the Olympics 12 yards of the 100-meter dash. That's what we're doing." When we celebrate our numbers and celebrate our transformations and celebrate our converts, that's what we're doing. We're celebrating that we made it out of the gate. What is that? There's 90 yards to go. More than we could ever ask for or imagine is out there. But it costs. And that's where you have a problem, where I have a problem. But I want this car, but I want to do these things, but I want to have this house, but I want to have this. What does God want for you, and who's going to leave you better off in the end? I can't say it any better than this guy. Y'all know I don't. If I read something and I think I can do it, I'll tell you. But I listen. Our mission is to win our mission isn't to win converts, it's to make disciples. So what is the difference? Converts are believers who live like the world. Disciples are believers who live like Jesus. Converts are focused on their values, interests, worries, fears, priorities, and lifestyle. Disciples are focused on Jesus' wishes, priorities, and lifestyle. Converts go to church. Disciples are the church. Converts are involved in the mission of Jesus. Disciples are committed to the mission of Jesus. Converts cheer from the sidelines. Disciples are in the game. Converts hear the word of God. Disciples live the word of God. Converts follow rules. Disciples follow Jesus. Converts are all about believing. Disciples are all about being. Converts are comfortable. Disciples make sacrifices. Converts talk. Disciples walk. A disciple is someone who wholeheartedly follows the life and example of Jesus, who makes his mission their mission. That's called a co-mission. Anybody catch that word? His mission is your mission. That makes it a co-mission. What is the great co-mission? His values are their values. A disciple is someone who desperately seeks Jesus, finds their entire identity in Jesus, not willing to die. Listen to this. The message too often has been watered down. Many of us just don't want to be called radicals. Many of us take the message of Jesus and omit some of the more intense parts because they might scare people away out of our desire to win converts and try to make Jesus convenient. I wonder if those scourgings were convenient. I wonder if that walk down the Via Dolorosa was convenient. I wonder if that spear in his side was convenient. I wonder if those few hours on the cross felt convenient. The Bible tells us why we're not growing. If a kernel of wheat falls on the ground, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The key to the growth of Nicholasville Baptist Church comes in everybody in this room deciding whether they're more important or God's more important. Their rules and wants are more important or God's more important. Whether he must become greater and you must become less. Whether denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him is the way you're going to go, or making sure that wherever you are, Jesus is following you. Babies don't get what's ahead. Okay? Baby Christians don't either. You wonder why I ask you to give. You wonder why I ask you to serve. You wonder why I ask you to show up. You wonder why, and I try not to be pushy, I do. But you wonder why there are certain things that I'm calling you or that I'm urging you or that I'm pushing you to do or that I'm trying to get you. Do you wonder why that is? Because I am the one who is called to take you from where Kinsey is to where Taysen is, from where Taysen is to where Tyler is, from where Tyler is to where, Zane is, from where Zane is to where Tecumseh is, from where Tecumseh is to where Bobby and Shelley are, where Bobby and Shelley are to where Miss Mamie is, just older. I'm trying, and that wasn't a spiritual reference, you guys. That was a physical reference. I'm trying to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. And if I wanted to make this easy, I could. But I refuse to water down the gospel to do so. I refuse to change the word disciple to converts. I refuse to change the word life to heaven. I refuse to make the kingdom something there when Jesus prayed for the kingdom to be here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want you, me, us to experience Jesus and his life and his fullness and his love and his mercy right now. I want to see his grace now. I want to see his mission now. I want to see his love outpoured now. And I want to live out thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I cannot do it as a baby. I cannot do it as a convert. I have got to call you to be disciples. And so I am. And I'm saying this to your face. You need, after you love your mother today, you need to go home, you need to sit down, you need to grab your calendar, you need to grab your checkbook, you need to grab your spouse and your children, and you need to reprioritize your life. Yeah. Reprioritize your life. Is the most important thing in your life metalworking? Well, Craig, I don't know. I love metalworking. How do I know if it's the important, most important thing in my life? Is it the thing you spend the most time and most money on? Let me step on your toes. You ready? How many of you have a cell phone bill? Raise your hand. If you have a cell phone bill, raise your hand. High. Raise it up high. Put them down and don't raise your hand this time. How many of you cell phone bill is bigger than your tithe? Don't raise your hand. You want to do car payments? You want to do money spent on sporting events? Oh, Craig, stop working on money. Stop stepping on my toes. No problem. Let's do time. How many of you have spent more than 3 hours worshiping or praising Jesus or doing a quiet time this week? Don't raise your hands. 3 hours? Anybody? Okay. You thinking about it now? How many of you spent 3 hours or more at baseball practice, football practice, soccer games, tennis? Can I tell you something? Can I step off this stool and not be your pastor for a minute and just be me? That last 2 minutes scared the snot out of me. You know why? Because I upset some of my friends. I know that because I've had people who've eaten dinner at my house on a weeknight, heard me preach on a Sunday, something like I just said, and they've never been back. And I knew that was a possibility. So I have a choice. Water down the gospel God called me to preach and allow you to stay babies. Or rip the bottle out of your mouth, take the passy out of your mouth, spank you on the bottom, tell you that I love you, and tell you I know that there's something more, and wait till you grow there so you'll know to thank me. And I know that some of you will walk because of it. That is okay. Go be a convert somewhere else. Please. Well, Craig, I want to stay here. I want you to stay here. But I want to be here. I want you to be here. But I want to be here and do what I want. Not going to happen. Or you're going to stay mad at me, one of the two. We'll have a nice relationship where you want to be here and you're always angry at me. But I'm putting my foot down. And I'm pulling back the curtain. I'm pulling back the curtain on consumerism, on fake Christianity, on going to church. And I'm asking you to be the church. I'm pulling the curtain back on tipping Jesus, and I'm asking you to tithe. I'm pulling the curtain back on showing up on Sunday morning, and I'm asking you to be here more. Well, how do we do it? Same way you do anything. Budget, schedule, pray, and work out what your priorities are. And then begin to live them out. Well, Craig, that's going to be costly. Yeah. It says it will. Count the cost. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your friends. It may cost you your job. It may cost you your home. It may cost you your car. Well, I'm not willing to give it. Exactly! Exactly. And you will be a convert forever. And I will love you as Jesus loves you. But I will not fake it. I will call a spade a spade. Because I love you. And I want more for you. Everybody take a deep breath. Cameron's going to come up here and he's going to strum the guitar. That's it. He's going to strum the guitar. Sing when you feel like it. Not until then. This is on you. I would ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, but it won't matter. We're real here. We're not faking anything, right? I mean, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head and we're going to do some meditative process where I'm trying to get you to come forward, where I'm trying to get you. No, no. Forget all that. Let's just be real. Unveiled. All open. You know full well if there are things in your life that need to be changed. Okay? You know. Here's the thing. You're not alone. You're not alone. There are things in my life that need to be changed. Things in my marriage, things in my parenting, things in my mind that I need to clean out or that I need to do better. People in my world that I need to love more fiercely. You're not alone. But in this consumer culture, we've created a way for us to get saved and then have nothing challenge us, have nothing call us to be different. And because everybody in the room is acting the same way, we're all staying in the pews, we're all staying here, we're not coming forward, we don't do any of that stuff, nobody does. You know what it looks like then? It looks like we've all got it under control. And that's where we're headed in this series. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about you. And you. And you. I'm worried about you getting it right. No matter how hard it is. And here's the only thing I can promise. It's the only promise I can make. It's the only promise Jesus made. That when you go through the valley, I'll be there. I can't stop it. I can just say, I'll go with you. I'll be there. All you got to do is ask. That's the only promise Jesus makes at the end of the Great Commission. I will be with you to the end. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take a minute to listen to what God's... Why are you feeling convicted? Why are you feeling shame? But God's grace can cover that shame. And I'm not saying that, well, Craig, if I don't act right, am I not getting to heaven? I'm not saying that. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to get in. You've got your ticket. But there's more. There's so much more to this life. There's so much more to family. There's so much more to church. There's so much more to love. There's so much more to all of the things that you think. Listen, there's so much more to food. What do you mean? Y'all have heard me talk about food. I talk about it differently than a lot of you. You know why? Because I love it. I don't love it as a glutton. I love it as something beautiful. I love that I have rosemary and habaneros growing in my backyard. I love what they can do. I love it. Okay? There's more to all of the simple things. Guess what? There's more to sex. What? Yeah. All that stuff on the computer? Not sex. Fake. Fake. But it's good. Not compared to what God has for you. Take the God of the universe, plug him into a little bit of it. See how delicious that is. Did the preacher just tell me to have sex with God? No. No. But I did say invite God in. That's weird. Only weird if you haven't tried it. When the two become one, that's exactly what happens. Christ joins you. It's beautiful. Weather, sports, houses, family, all of it becomes richer, tastier, dare I say, yummier. when we do it His way. Just like the parent knows there's more for the child. You guys know there's more for Katie. You guys know there's more for Tristan. You know there's more than being a teenager. It's harder. It's more responsible. It offers sacrifice. But there's more. There's so much more out there as an adult. There's so much more out there as a disciple. What do you want to change today? Where do you want to start? How do you want to get from the 10th yard to the 11th? The 11th yard to the 12th? The 12th to the 80th? How do you want to run the race? Not that I have already obtained this, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind, reaching toward what is ahead, I press on. Who's with me? It's going to cost, and I'm not going to lie about it. Things are going to change, and I'm not going to lie about it. It will be better, and I'm not going to lie about it. The altar is here. You can talk to me if you want to, but I can't make a difference. God can. You got something you want to pray about? You got something you want to leave right here? You got something you want to get some courage and some strength for in your marriage, in your finances, in your parenting, in your sporting events, in your job, in your lifestyle? You got something you want to reprioritize? Come and talk to Jesus about it and ask Him to help you. Bring your spouse. Bring a child. You got a pain. Bring it. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest in Him, hope in Him, truth in Him, freedom in Him. I want to make disciples, church. Do you want to be one? God, hear our prayers. Hear our songs. Hear our hearts as we come to You now. As you feel led, church, you come. Whatever you need, you come. You lay it at His feet. And you go back rip-roaring and ready to make a difference in your life, your family's life, starting this afternoon.